insists on the equality of all souls before Christ. Faith means a personal relationship with Jesus, and the source of that faith is the Bible and the Holy Spirit, and one person, only the believer, can decide what God is saying to her. So I didn't do saints. At least, that's how I thought of it at the time. The first time it fell to me to preach on All Saints Day, I had been charged by a mentor to preach something that was difficult for me, to preach on something that was a bit of a stumbling block. And seeing as how those things had converged, that challenge with All Saints Day, I felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking. I needed to reconsider saints, what they might mean to me, how they might fit in my tradition as I understood it. In other words, what does a Baptist saint look like? I remember telling my mother on the phone that week that I was going to preach on saints. Her response was, "Oh." And I could tell by her tone that she was rather concerned that her daughter was syncretizing the faith. And then 5 years later, we come on last Thursday, when I was sitting in a coffee shop preparing a sermon on Revelation 7. And I had just received the news that Piedad Espinosa, our beloved nursery worker of so many years, had passed away. And I was thinking of all that she had done, all that she had given to this church, the lessons that she had taught our little ones. I remember Chris Abiera always saying that she could see how the kids were different when they came through Piedad's training, under Piedad's care. They were able to pray, they were able to sit, they were able to listen to stories, they were ready to be in Sunday school. And I wasn't just thinking about Piedad. I was thinking about Ramona Welker and Martha May, Judy Lindquist, Carolyn Austin, Ka Yi, and just as of last night, Ethel Nambu. All of the people that we have lost in the past year, and all of the people, all of the cloud of witnesses who have given so much to this community, so much to each of us here. And then I looked at the words on the page in front of me and I stopped short. I thought, you know, this sermon is fine, but it's not for this Sunday. It's not for All Saints Day. It's not for Unity Sunday. And then my mind went back to that day 5 years ago when I had been charged to preach on All Saints Day, when I had first thought about what is a saint to me? What is a saint to me as a Baptist? So I went back and found what I had prepared, my reflection on that text, which was this text, the story of Lazarus coming out of the tomb. And I could feel the tears start to well up, because I knew this was the sermon that I needed for this Sunday. But the bulletin was already prepared. This never happens to me. I always plan in advance. I give the text out. I give everyone notice. The Holy Spirit in my life works very much in advance. So I texted the pastoral team frantically, and they were very gracious. I texted Cecilia, and she said, "Don't worry, don't worry. I'll give Kati the new scripture. No new changes, right?" And I returned once again to the story of Mary and Lazarus and the story of the saints. Saints don't have to be a stumbling block. What I've realized is that attending to the saints has offered a remedy for something that I have found evolving in my own personal spiritual life, which I think is a problem that Baptists can fall into, which is narrowing our gaze. We often emphasize cultivating intensely personal relationships with God, thinking about what it is, what is faith to us? No one can tell us what faith is. We decide for ourselves. We decide how to read the Bible. We decide how God operates in our lives and how we respond to that grace. That is a wonderful and beautiful thing. I stand by it. I swear by it. But what I have found is that my vision can sort of narrow to the present time, to my individual faith and exclude the way God is working in the broader community, in the broader church, and throughout history. We sing this song, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. And it is a wonderful story, but it's missing some chapters. If it leaves off after John's revelation and doesn't begin again until my baptism. 2,000 years of bold gospel proclamation in the face of adversity. 2,000 years of that march to Zion, risk getting eclipsed in the name of nothing between me and my Jesus. Antes yo pensaba que los santos no tenían nada que ver con la tradición bautista. Lo importante era mi relación con Dios, mi relación con Jesucristo. Lo importante era meditar en la Biblia, era orar y discernir mi propia fe. Yo pensaba que los santos eran personas santificadas más cerca de Dios. Eso no cuadraba con mi creencia muy bautista, que todos los almas son iguales ante los ojos de Dios. Pero yo me he dado cuenta de que la historia de Dios no solamente se aparece, se desarrolla en mi vida y en el texto bíblico. También Dios está obrando por medio de la historia, por medio de los hermanos y hermanas que nos preceden. Esas historias han tocado mi vida, han informado mi fe. Y si estoy tan enfocada en la Biblia, en mi propia relación con Jesús, que dejo de meditar en cómo el reino de Dios se ha manifestado en la historia de este mundo, de la iglesia cristiana, estoy perdiendo unas lecciones muy importantes. Entonces puede ser que en la tradición no tenemos santos, en la tradición bautista no tenemos santos con S mayúscula, pero sí tenemos santos de S minúscula, que no son personas beatificadas por un proceso de la iglesia, porque no tenemos un proceso así, sino gente que nos señala a Dios por medio de su fe, por medio de su vida. Esas personas nos animan a amar, nos inspiran a ser valientes. If anyone could claim an intimate relationship with Jesus, a personal relationship with Jesus, it was Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Mary, who let the tasks of a woman of the house fall to the side neglected, while she sat at Jesus' feet as an honored and beloved disciple. In the very best way, her actions say, it's about me and Jesus. In this moment, nothing else matters. And then her brother dies. Mary hears Jesus is coming. She runs to him. She throws herself at his feet and says, Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died. She is grieving. She is angry. Her beloved brother, a saintly man, has been ripped from her. So it was not just her and Jesus anymore, not in that moment. It was her, Jesus, and her dead brother. Jesus could have consoled Mary, as we often do when we lose loved ones. Jesus could have reminded her that she and Lazarus will meet again. He could have reminded her of all of the ways that Lazarus ministered to her, to her sister, even to Jesus himself during his life, and how that example would live on. He could have said, I am still here. I am still with you. Put your trust in me. But Jesus knows that it's not just about him and Mary. In that moment, Mary needed the testimony of her brother. She needed to be able to see the glory and the promise of a Lord that operates not just in the words and presence of Jesus, She needed to hear the gospel through her brother. So Jesus calls Lazarus out. Jesus says, "Your work is not finished. You may have died, but you have some testifying to do, because my people are hurting, and they need to see what the new Jerusalem looks like. They need to feel what it feels like to have God dwell among them. What it means, as Revelation 7 says, that every tear will dry, and mourning and pain will be no more. My people need to see that." So he calls him out. Jesus calls Lazarus out and bids the people unbind him so he can walk. So he can walk with them as a living testimony to that place that they are walking towards. When her brother rises from the dead, Mary sees in him the glory of God revealed. The lives of those who came before us can offer us no less. Even without rising bodily, physically, their stories ring out through our history. Their stories preach to us. Receiving the witness of saints does not diminish our relationship with God. It makes it stronger. It reminds us that in small and large ways, the kingdom of God continues to break through the cracks in history on our long march toward Zion. It broke out in the moving letters of Liskin Dirks, an Anabaptist martyr of the 1500s in Belgium. She had the audacity to proclaim her faith during a long imprisonment. Her captors would belittle and taunt her by saying, "What reason do you have to meddle with scripture? You better mind your sewing." The reign of God also broke out when Roger Williams, the founder of the first Baptist church in America, established a refuge for religious minorities and organized the first attempt to abolish slavery in this country. It broke out on the road from Selma to Montgomery when a Baptist preacher named Martin Luther King Jr. refused to return violence for violence, accompanied by a saint of our own church, Dr. Peggy Griffin. The reign of God breaks out in the lives of all of the saints that we have mentioned here this morning, and all of those whom we carry in our hearts. Liskin Dirks and Roger Williams and Martin Luther King Jr. and all of that great cloud of witnesses proclaimed to the whole world that there will be a new heaven and earth, and this is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. This is what it sounds like. This is the story. Their story is also the story of Jesus and his love. If we neglect to recount the lives of our forebears, I fear that we leave Lazarus dead and bound in his grave, awaiting the day of final resurrection. Lazarus still has something to say, and it is time for us to say, "Lazarus, come out. Martin Luther King Jr., come out. Liskin Dirks, come out. Roger Williams, come out. Piedad Espinosa, come out. Come out and preach to us. Tell us the story. Because sometimes we are tired, sometimes our throats are parched, and we just can't tell it the way you tell it. El reino de Dios se manifiesta dentro de las vidas de los hermanos y hermanos que nos proceden y de los que están a nuestro lado. Entonces, dar testimonio de sus vidas es dar testimonio de la obra de Dios. Los que hemos amado y perdido nos sigue predicando por medio de sus historias y sus ejemplos. Y aunque ya no estén con nosotros, su amor sigue con nosotros por medio del espíritu de un Dios vivo que nos sigue fortaleciendo. Ellos y ellas son los santos y las santas de S minúscula, los que honramos hoy. Y por eso tomamos tiempo este día para recordar a ellos, para agradecerlos, para celebrar cómo Dios ha manifestado su amor y su reino dentro de sus vidas." Brothers and sisters, Zion is breaking out among us, even as we march toward it. We recount the stories of our own brothers and sisters, our mothers and fathers, our siblings in Christ, to proclaim the story of the miracles that went before us and happened among us and point us toward that last day. We have inherited the witness of an ocean of individuals testifying to the power of Jesus Christ. Siblings, sisters, brothers, let us tell the whole story. Amen.